We declare that our God is alive, that Jesus is risen indeed. It feels like we need to say an amen there. Can you say an amen?
Amen.
Guys, I know it's 8:30. You guys are the first service. Everybody's kind of getting warmed up here. Let me hear that one more time. I need a little more energy. Like Taylor Swift Eras Tour or whatever like your big concert would be. Can we get an amen? Our God is risen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. There we go. There we go. The resurrection of Jesus Christ split human history into this definitive before and after. Resurrection is the ultimate confirmation that we believe in a good God who is writing a good story that has a good ending. This is the good news of great joy for all the people that was proclaimed at Christmas when Jesus was born. But as people who've always been in the after side of history, we know how this story ends, right? And when you know how a story ends, it can be hard to hear what it's actually saying. So this morning I want us to think about the resurrection like this great piece of art, like Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel, or if you've been to Paris and seen Monet's Water Lilies installation, one of these like immersive 360 art experiences where there's so much going on, we cannot wrap our minds around it. We can't take it all in at one time. And as finite humans, there's so much to see that it can overwhelm us. And so what we do is we naturally will narrow our focus to one part. And zooming in on something is not bad. That's okay. The problem isn't that we zoom in. The problem is when we forget that what we're focused on is one part of a bigger whole. And when we encounter something as incredible as the resurrection, our human tendency to narrow our focus can lead us to get a little bit Cameron Fry on things. Now, if you understand this reference, Cameron Fry is our good friend from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. If you have not seen this 1980s cult classic, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, run. Do not walk to go watch this movie. It ages well. It is a good piece of 80s art. The premise of Ferris Bueller's Day Off is that Ferris skips school, and he convinces his best friend Cameron to come with him and his girlfriend Sloane, and they go have this like amazing day skipping school. And Cameron, in Ferris's words, is wound up pretty tight, okay? He's a little bit uptight. And a big part of his character arc is that this day off with Ferris is going to change his perspective on life. He's going to start to see things differently as a result of this day. And to show his evolving perspective, there's a scene where Cameron has a moment with this impressionist painting at the art museum, and they alternate, the director will alternate like zooming in on Cameron's eyes as he zooms in on this little girl in this impressionist painting's eyes. And it's showing that he's having this evolving perspective. And he's able to see some really cool details, right, in that hyperfocus. The problem is when you're that zoomed in on something, you don't even know that this is a part of a bigger picture. You don't really understand what this little girl's role is. You don't understand that she's with her mom. You don't understand what everybody else is doing. You're only focused on this one piece of it. And this is really easy for us to do with the resurrection, is to zoom in on one part of it. Because it's so wild and it's so radical that we literally cannot wrap our minds around this whole thing. And we can't take it in all at once. And we don't have to. And it's natural for us to kind of zoom in on different parts of it. But on a day like today, on a day like Easter, what we want to do is take a step back to zoom out so that we can see the bigger picture and understand the fullness of joy that God is inviting us into through the resurrection. So a part of the resurrection that we often zoom in on is the part about sin and death. Now, this is a very important part of the resurrection, right? Sin is very real. We see its effects everywhere, all around us, in the brokenness and the darkness of our world. And we declare and celebrate today that the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is sufficient for all sin, for all time. Amen? Amen. The problem is that when we hyper-focus on just the sin and death part of this story, without placing it back into the bigger context of the story that God is telling us, we can develop this really twisted theology where we have this nice New Testament Jesus who has to come save us from this mean, vengeful, vindictive, angry Old Testament God. And the truth is that from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, God reveals God to be a God who is with us, a God who will stop at nothing, even death, to be with us, to rescue us, to redeem us, to restore us into the relationship with God that we've been created for from the beginning. Jesus did not come and die to settle a score that God had. The resurrection and death of Jesus are not about retribution, they are about rescue. This is about rescue and restoration. And this might sound like semantics, you know, we're just maybe like interchanging words, but the reality is that when it comes to how we actually experience God in our lives, when it comes to our own spiritual formation, this makes a huge difference. This makes a huge difference. Because it's true that we are all sinners in need of a savior. That's true. And that is not the truest thing about us. The truest thing about you is that you are a deeply loved child of God, that Jesus came and died to rescue, to redeem, to restore into relationship with God. One of my favorite books on the Bible says there are three words to describe humanity, and sin is the middle one. There are three words to describe humanity, and sin is the middle one. The first word is that you are loved, is love. You were created out of love. You were created by a God who is love, who wants to live in love with you. The first word about you is that you were very, very good, not that you are bad. You are very good. We start with Genesis 1. You are very good. And the last word about us is that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are rescued. We are redeemed. We are restored. We are reconciled with God so that we can live this life with God that we were created to live all along. This is what the writers of the New Testament come back to again and again and again, right? And sin is in the middle of this. It is deeply significant to the story. We don't ignore it. We don't sugarcoat it. We don't minimize it. We don't pretend like it doesn't exist. But we also don't make it the one word about us, the main word about us. Because what the resurrection declares is that we are restored, that we are reconciled, that we are redeemed. Eugene Peterson captures this so beautifully in his message paraphrase of John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He says, "This is how much God loved the world. God gave God's Son, God's one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending God's Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again." The resurrection is not primarily about sin and death. That is an important part of the resurrection. But the resurrection is primarily about life. This is primarily about life. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly." The story of God from the beginning to the end is a story of life, a whole and lasting life. As our good shepherd, Jesus gave his life for us as the sheep so that we can live this life together with God. Through his death and resurrection, we are invited into the abundant life with God here and now. This is not just something that happens when we die. We experience a new fullness of it after we die, but we are invited into this here and now. Today. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, "Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. We might walk in newness of life. The resurrection is the beginning of this newness of life. Jesus says in Revelation about the resurrection. It's a lot of R's, you guys. Jesus says in Revelation about the resurrection, I am making all things new. I am making all things new. I'm the beginning and the end. I am making all things new. Notice that he doesn't say, I am making all new things. I am making all things new. And that includes you, and that includes me, and that includes us, and that includes our community, and that includes our world. I am making all things new. The resurrection of Jesus invites us into this new life, this abundant life with God that we were created for from the very beginning. And as we live this new life together with God, we practice resurrection, and we bring this new life out into our families, into our communities, into our cities, and into our world. That is how God's kingdom begins to come here and now, through us practicing this resurrection life, both personally and as a community. Frederick Buechner famously wrote that resurrection means the worst thing that's happened to us is never the last thing that happens to us. The worst thing that happens to you is never the last thing that happens to you. Resurrection means that death no longer has the final word. You can imagine at some point today these women walking to the tomb with this grief and this heaviness. Nobody thought that it was going to end like this. And nobody thought that the end was actually the beginning. Imagine that the worst thing that has happened is not the last thing, that death no longer has the final word, that the brokenness and the pain and the darkness and the heartbreak of this world are not the end of the story. This is a good story about a good God, and it has a good ending. And we need to trust that. We need days like today to see the bigger picture, to trust that, because it does get dark in the middle. And as we celebrate this miracle of resurrection, Platte Park, we proclaim this good news of great joy, that our God, who was dead, is now alive, and inviting us all into this whole, abundant life to the full, both now and forever. Amen. As we prepare to receive communion, which is a visible declaration of the sufficiency of Jesus' atoning sacrifice for us, so that we may walk in the newness of life with God, let us stand and sing a song of confession together.
And be seated. I don't know about you, but I can have a propensity to get caught in my head on days like today, where there's this great story of resurrection that we get to hear about, we get to explore, we get to contemplate, recognize, and it can sometimes feel other from our life and our lived experience. What in the world does the resurrection mean for me? Why is it important for me to have experienced resurrection? And to have the thought that, what is it that I need rescue from? The thought that I would die and rise again is very disconnected from my lived experience, but the idea that some part of me has experienced the taste of death, or that someone I love has experienced suffering, or that the world around us is in desperate need of, well, all you have to do is open up social media, watch the news, walk outside sometimes, and there is darkness everywhere. And like Allie said, the darkness is not the final word. It's the middle word. It is the word in between the love in which we were created and the rescue that we get to remember today. As you came in, you were given a card. This card is this beautiful depiction of a sheep. What I told Lindsay, who is our resident artist who designed this set and who just has this beautiful creative energy in her, I was like, I just want a picture of a sheep that is being held close to the heart of his shepherd. So as you look at this card, we're going to take a moment and consider where we need rescue. So we're going to be quiet for just a moment, and I'm going to ask a few questions. If it would be comfortable for you to close your eyes, feel free to close your eyes. A way to keep yourself from being distracted. Where in my life do I need to be rescued by Jesus, my good shepherd? What does receiving this rescue look like? If you need to write it down, whisper it to the person next to you. What does practicing resurrection mean for me personally? And for the world around me. Who in my life will practice resurrection with me? We are walking in good news of new life. And it is connected to the sorrows that we hold. For it is in these places of great sorrow and darkness and death that only God can be our rescue. We cannot save ourselves. We need someone who embodies life and love to remind us that we too hold life and are loved. We need a rescuer. And today we celebrate the fact that we have one. My hope and my prayer for us on this Easter is that not only will we remember his resurrection, but we will say, and this matters. It matters for me because when I wake up in the morning, I need a reason to hope. I was with a friend in September, and he asked the question, I don't understand how you have so much hope. And my response to him was this. I said, I so deeply believe in Jesus and the resurrection because it is the resurrection love of Jesus that is at the center of all things, inviting us to himself at all times, telling us this is the truest thing about you. So when death feels like it has the final word, I can say, no, the resurrection love of Jesus, because he came and he died and he rose again, I get to identify with Christ. I am no longer dead. I am alive in him. So the worst thing, Allie had quoted Frederick Buechner, the worst thing is not the last thing. When I face down death, I can face it knowing that I can willingly step into death with the belief that life will meet me on the other side. It is good news. It is not a religious story. It is good news that can actually give us hope, give us peace, and give us the ability to practice resurrection every morning when we wake up, every time we have a meeting that goes awry. Every time we get a call from the doctor, whenever a relationship is broken, when we have been betrayed, when we have been accused, when we have been abandoned, we are met by the resurrection hope of Jesus Christ, who says, my life was given for you that you might identify in both your love, identify where love has been taken from you and where you've turned in a different direction, where you've identified with sin more than you have identified with love, and I want to rescue it. I want to rescue out of it. My prayer is that you will receive your resurrection today, that you will, as you think of the places that need rescue, think of the places where you need resurrection, that you will receive it. And that tomorrow when you wake up, you might have a seed of hope somewhere inside of you that says, I can face today because I've been loved and I've been rescued. Amen.